Welcome to a very special in-studio guest today. We have New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez in studio. Thank you, Governor, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, Don. I appreciate it.
It is great to see you. Why are we getting this great visit from you here in Hobbs?
Well, I love to travel throughout the state, and throughout my term, both terms, I've loved to go and make sure that we share the stories about what's been happening in the Roundhouse and how things are going on, and what impact it's having on Hobbs, how well Hobbs is doing economically, all the, you know, any kind of laws that we've passed, and our education, et cetera. So we want to share that here personally every time we get a chance.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you. And I know, are you going to be touring CORE, our Center of Recreational Excellence?
I am. I get to do that about 11:15.
Okay. Well, it is exciting because it's a big, expensive building filled with some pretty neat features that we hope will be an economic development tool for us. So about $63 million to build that. Yeah, so we're glad to have you here taking a look at that. Speaking of big money, oil and gas revenues, of course, oil and gas, a big part of what funds New Mexico, keeps the engine running, and luckily we're looking at some increases in production and activity in the oil field. How do you think that's going to impact our state budget coming up?
Well, you know, oil and gas is about 36% of our state budget. And so we embrace how lucky we are that we have so many natural resources in New Mexico, in particular oil and gas. We are one of the most energy-rich and energy-diverse state in the nation, and we have an excellent opportunity to utilize this position to grow our economy, of course, and to create more jobs. The oil and gas industry has that industry contributes about $11.3 billion to New Mexico's economy and is responsible for more than about 100,000 jobs. And so that is huge for a section of New Mexico to bring in that kind of money into the coffers of our state budget to be able to, of course, improve our infrastructure, to make sure that we're doing better in bringing in the jobs that are necessary to produce all this oil and gas. We are number three in the country right now in reference to how much oil and gas are being produced. Actually, oil is being produced in the country.
Yeah.
That's huge. We're very close to South Dakota, and then it's Texas. So we're very lucky to have the oil and gas industry, and we celebrate it all the time.
Even as we're, you know, looking at an increase in those revenues and activity in the oil field, we're happy about that. New Mexico it gets criticized a bit from the big oil companies about lagging behind some of the other states, such as Texas, in maybe creating some barriers. And not being friendly enough to them to really have the full range of oil and gas activity, the exploration and production that they enjoy in some other states. They think that New Mexico is a little over-regulated and they have a little bit of trouble. Otherwise, we might actually be outdistancing Texas in that department.
Well, just earlier this year, I testified before the Energy and Mineral Resources Subcommittee in Washington, D.C. about some of those regulations. And I urge them to pass legislation that streamlines layers of that bureaucratic requirements and expedites the approval process for drilling permits. Because if the delay takes place, it's about a $713 million loss of revenue to New Mexico. And so as a result of that, BLM has issued a directive ordering their offices to follow the law that was written and ignored by the previous administration. And it's a law that has the categorical exclusions that were not allowed before on BLM land. So now they don't have to go through these long year and a half permitting processes. Mm-hmm. Now they can shorten actually a lot of the requirements and regulations are off the table as they were since 2005. However, the previous administration decided to ignore it. This administration chooses to follow the law.
Okay. And speaking of this administration, your last tour of the state as governor. And how
I'll be back.
You'll be back.
I will.
Good.
I will.
Excellent.
Be back.
I hope so. We've tossed a lot of money at a lot of things during your administration. It's been a focus on a lot of things. And with the loss of oil and gas revenue for a couple of years, we had to see some budget cuts and had to cut into education. a little bit. But education has been a real focus, you know, while you've been governor. How do you feel overall about what you've been able to accomplish during your administration regarding education?
You know, education is so important to me because I strongly believe that every single child can learn. And children learn to read from kindergarten to third grade. And then from the fourth grade on, they're going to read to learn for the rest of their lives. So we have to make a big push constantly that children are at grade level and so that they're ready for the next year. And if they're not, then we have already implemented more money than ever in the history of New Mexico into reading programs. So, or if you have an extra 20 days to be ready for the next grade because you're a little bit behind, we supply the money for the schools and the teachers to be paid for K through plus. We also have teachers mentoring teachers. Principals mentoring principals. We have a program also that allows for us to have money available to school teachers for school supplies so that they're not digging into their pockets. But I will tell you, more money is in education K through 12 than ever in the history of New Mexico. We have the highest graduation rate at this time. We didn't have a very good graduation rate. It's nothing that can't be improved even today. But it's because they're embracing the reforms. Once they embrace those reforms, concentrating on those kids that are struggling, concentrating on schools that are struggling, and then concentrating on school districts that are struggling. I mean, we have done an amazing job in education because we're investing our dollars into that.
If you could serve a third term as governor, would you?
You know, there's always things left to be done. It's always that, gosh, I wish to have a little bit more time to keep pushing on this and making this happen. And education for me, whether I'm governor or not, is going to be something I'm going to keep working hard for. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in that position, but making sure people, families, understand what the reforms have done and how we can keep building and how their voices need to be heard.
Have you been approached about running for higher offices? I mean, President Martinez, does that have a ring to it?
No. there's always conversations made or gossip or you know, chatter going on, but I'm not taking any of that seriously. At this point, I really need to focus on making sure we close up some projects that we've gotten on its way and making some really big announcements before I leave. Love coming back to Hobbs, and I'll be back again.
All right. Thank you, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez, and thank you for listening.
Welcome to another segment of Meeting Meeting. I'm Dawn Morgan. In studio, Congresswoman and gubernatorial candidate Michelle Lujan Grisham, who has been in town for candidate-related events, forums, dinners, and so forth, and we appreciate the time in studio to get to know you. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Oh, you're very welcome, Dawn. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm always happy to be in southeastern New Mexico, and it's been a bit since I've had the opportunity to be in Hobbs, so I'm enjoying every minute of it.
It's a diverse state, and it's rich in natural resources, and the most natural resource of all, of course, is people. And we have such potential, and we're already reaching that potential in so many ways, and we're kind of the best kept secret in America in many ways. I think, you know, New Mexico is just terrific, but you're right.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the state. So you'll hear in this campaign, and I think particularly in the general, that you know the state doesn't create jobs. It's you got to have somebody who can align themselves with their own business or in the private sector. And of course, I've been a business owner and I've worked in the private sector, and there are many aspects of that that are valuable. For example, knowing the role that government needs to play and being your partner, not your barrier to success. And part of that is, and I've got this in my Jumpstart plan, why is New Mexico sending its resources to neighboring states? You know, your road construction provider or contractor should not be from Texas. And no disrespect to Texas, but how about New Mexicans ought to have those jobs first? And why aren't we building capacity to do that? And why are we losing our construction industries? All of those jobs in information technology should be right here. We spend upwards of $400 million, and in some years we spent $500 million of your money helping the other states succeed. And that doesn't make any sense. The greatest return on any of our economic investments is, in fact, investing in our own small businesses. And that's exactly what I plan to do.
How important is the Democratic philosophy in the party to you, and how important is it, and how do you achieve that? Working to get support, not only support as a voter, but support from other party people in the Republican Party and other
right.
people.
Well, here's a couple, I think, of important examples. So even, you know, when I worked for Governor Johnson, I think people were in Democratic Party politics were worried. What does that mean? Does that mean she's going to shift her values? Does that? Absolutely not. I have very clear Democratic values. I think that vulnerable populations deserve an equal voice. I think that we should invest in making sure that folks who haven't gotten a fair shake are treated equally. I think there should be equal pay for women. I think that healthcare is a right and not a privilege. So very core, clear Democratic values, and that good government has a role in making an investment in the quality of my life and in my future. But across the aisle, I want to work with any Republican that's going to help us identify better access points for healthcare and make sure that we're reducing costs. I want to work with any Republican that's got ideas about making sure that we don't have 50% of our population on Medicaid because it's not sustainable. I want to make sure it was Republicans who led the early fight for medical cannabis. It was not Democrats. Governor Johnson led that fight. He lost it. Richardson was able to do that. But you know why Republicans in the New Mexico legislature were so keen on making sure that we at least had a debate about that and got a vote about whether or not medical cannabis? Because it's a patient's rights issue. Why are you going to let government interfere between the relationship of a physician and a patient? And if that's the best mode of treatment, why are you telling that physician and that patient no, particularly if it's a cancer patient who without that can't get productive pain treatment or can't eat? And that terminal illness is made even worse by those dynamics. Well, I remind New Mexicans all the time, it was Republicans in the legislature that led the discussion and the debate on those issues. So compromise and being open-minded and respecting folks. And I would submit that this state government has made it very clear that partisan politics are alive and well, that we want to divide New Mexico. We want to divide New Mexicans. I think we've seen enough of that negativity at the federal level, and we can see that it really can create significant hardships in a state's economy. And we can't have that anymore.
There's an awful lot of divisiveness, and I think you're right. In this last presidential election and the early years of the new administration are really showing everybody in the heart of the new unify not only our country but unify us globally. In the heart of all of this effort, we're back to fracturing out and becoming more divisive. Would you agree that the power is in the hands of the people, or it should be in the hands of the people, and that states are actually designed, it was set up constitutionally, that states would have more power than the federal government?
There is no question that in this environment in particular, that coming home, coming right back here, where my daughters are, my granddaughter is, my mother, and I'm her primary caregiver, that states are gonna have to defend against policies that are not productive from them, whether it's for quality of life, the environment, job growth, economic freedom, equality, equal pay, whatever it is. States are going to have to lead to do that. And that is probably 90% of my decision, that in the federal government, they're ignoring states' rights, they're ignoring state populations, they're ignoring state priorities, they're dictating and actually taking us backwards in so many places. And so states are going to have to lead through that, and state citizens deserve leadership that will protect their values and interests against a federal government that is deciding for us, that don't meet the diverse culture and priorities of this incredible state.
All right. Thank you very much, Michelle Lujan Grisham, Democrat gubernatorial candidate in New Mexico and sitting congresswoman. And we appreciate your time. Any other final thoughts and words before we close?
No, I'm just delighted to be in Hobbs. It's a beautiful city with so many potential priorities that we can achieve and such a great climate. I'm really honored that I get to be here. And I'm so delighted I got to say hello to your listeners and get to meet you, Don. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. This is Media Meeting.